Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Just a reminder, as training camps get underway, it's still summer. For how much longer? Not for much longer, but it is still summertime. Melnick in the Afternoon, TSN 690 with Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo, David Trentadue helping us out. We'll tee up the Broncos and Chiefs, heard right here on TSN 690 with Paul Klee of the Colorado Springs Gazette on site at Arrowhead. That ought to be on your bucket list too, right? Arrowhead Stadium?
Absolutely. Another one of those classic old school AFC franchises.
That's Paul Klee coming up in about half an hour. And Pierre Maguire, normally at 5:05, last couple of days has been delayed because of commitments. He will return tomorrow at his regular time. One of the things we've done today with the opening of training camp, what would you most be looking forward to? If you're following the Montreal Canadiens and how a story might develop over the course of camp.
The thing that I'm most interested in is watching Galchenyuk in the middle of the ice, not for four games, but on a lengthy stay, because it's going to take him some time, and he's going to have some good days and some bad days. And the real trick for Montreal is when he goes through a down stretch is don't slip to the temptation to just slide him back to the wing.
I mean, I think he has the ability to be a top four guy, and I think this could be that year where he muscles his way past a couple of guys and becomes a go-to guy late in games, big minutes.
Ray Ferraro on Alex Galchenyuk as a centerman. Pierre LeBrun on Nathan Beaulieu on the blue line.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by the Old Orchard Pub. Five locations, with a sixth now open in Chateauguay, and by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How are you?
I'm very well, Mitch. How are you?
Fine, thank you very much.
Good.
Yeah. Can you tell us what you've been doing, or should we just
move? No, this is an annual thing I do with my brothers. We go out to central Pennsylvania and play at a little Ryder Cup golf action with some of their friends, and it's a two-day event, and yeah, I'm back to normal tomorrow.
Okay. So your brothers?
This is in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, but it is beautiful. Yeah. It is absolutely gorgeous here.
So what is it like hanging out with a good chunk of the Maguire clan these days?
It's fun. It really is. It's great. We're just so fortunate to all be around, still functioning, have a great time athletically. My brothers are great uncles. They're awesome uncles, and they're really good people. And they're fantastic brothers, so I'm very fortunate.
So if you weren't in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, and you were in Montreal for the next 3 weeks, what would you, you know, if you're selling a story to an editor saying, this is what I want to pay attention to over the next 3 weeks, what would it be?
Ray Ferraro nailed it. You know, it's something that I've been talking about for a long time. I agree with Ray on Alex Galchenyuk. That's something I'd want to study and watch and probably do a story on the positives and negatives and the growth. I think he's going to be a star player at that position. I really do. The other thing that I would want to do a story on, Mitch, that I don't know if it's been talked about today, the greatness of Carey Price. This is a franchise player, clearly, and he deserves a lot of credit for the job that he's done as a stabilizer for the franchise. But also the relationship he has with Stephan Waite, the goalie coach. That'd be another story I'd really want to look at.
Well, to revisit something I did talk about earlier in the show and talked a little bit about last week, we had a discussion, you know, Mitch Gallo, and I understand, Gallo, your assertion that there's no way he can have another year like last year, MVP in Vezina, and there was a third award, right? It was, what did he win? The Lindsay Award, right?
Yeah, the players voted.
Yeah, yeah. So he won almost everything here. But, you know, I went back to Dominik Hasek, Pierre, who was well into his 30s when he became the best goalie in the league. And he maintained that level. You look at his save percentage year after year after year, it was around .930. His play didn't drop off.
That's a great point.
Tim Thomas established himself. He had these crazy-looking save percentages for 3 or 4 years. I don't see Carey Price's play dropping off.
No, I don't either. I don't see. But what I worry about is will they have enough? And, you know, you heard Pierre LeBrun talking about Nathan Beaulieu and the potential that he has. That defense is going to have to round into shape pretty quickly, I think. The Canes can't play rope-a-dope like they did a lot of last year. They've got to really get back to being a high-octane offensive team, pushing the pace from the back end and play to the strengths of P.K. Subban and Andrei Markov and obviously Beaulieu if he does develop into that top four defenseman that they were looking for that can dominate with pace. So But Carey can't be exposed to tons of chances all the time. That becomes a grind for the goalie as well.
And this guy on the blue line, too.
He's a down-to-earth guy, so nothing's going to, you know, influence him in a negative way or make him seem like he's got a big head at all. I mean, that's not the guy that he is, and he's a guy that works hard. And I think just as his mentality, I think, well, you know, he can have a year just like he did last year.
See? Jeff Petrie. He can have a year just like he did last year.
Well, he's a good player. That was a really – I was surprised. I'll be totally frank with you. I was surprised that he stayed in Montreal, but I can tell you that the Canadians really struck on a really solid player, a very, very solid player who's got a chance to be a dominant player. He was very good for Montreal, very, very good last year.
Yeah, who was it? Was it at the rookie camp or at the golf tournament? Some member of the Canadians also expressed surprise. They were happy, obviously, but surprised that he did return. I'll try to find
it. I will tell you. Because, you know, and you've been around, and when I've had some of these conversations with general managers and player development people and directors of player personnel, the ones I spoke to all were very interested in getting Jeff Petrie. So I don't know if it's because, you know, maybe people backed off at the dollar value or the term, but I was really shocked that he was able to stay in Montreal, which is a great thing for the Canadiens and for him, I think.
So a lot of us are looking at the Canadiens roster and where some potential new offense could come from, Pierre. And are you looking at the back end generally as a unit that could contribute more to the offense?
I think that's the way it has to be. You know, again, Pierre LeBrun talking about Nathan Beaulieu and Mitch just talking about Jeff Petrie, and we know about the passing brilliance of Markov, and I think everybody knows how great PK is when it comes to manufacturing offense. So those are some pretty important weapons that can help you, as long as the coaching staff allows the players to push the game from the back end. That's more of a coaching thing than a talent thing. The Canes have the talent to do it.
All right, Gallo found who was surprised.
I actually kind of thought that he might not be back because he's a guy that everybody wanted, you know. And I thought there was a very strong possibility that he wouldn't be here, and I'm really happy that he is.
That's Carey Price was the guy who was surprised to see Petrie back. Petrie weighed in on another issue today, Pierre.
You're going to put out some obviously guys that can score, but you're going to put out guys that you know, that have speed. So. You know, because it's going to be, like I said, an on-man rush, and then if goalie makes a save, it's going to be, you know, going back the other way. So it's got to be, you know, not only guys that can score, but guys that are pretty quick that would be able to get back.
On three coming, I know you haven't done a tour yet, but you've talked to a lot of people since this was adopted. Is there this excitement level that's palpable about this?
I think everybody's really excited to see how it's going to play out. I think creative coaching will matter with this. Creative players will matter with this. Being really determined in terms of trying to end games quickly, I think, will play a factor in this too. So it's got a lot of things that are going to be kicking in. I'm really excited to see it play out.
So if you're playing the Pittsburgh Penguins, Pierre, and the game is tied with a minute to go, I mean, you're not playing for overtime here, right?
Well, I think everybody's going to try to avoid that depending on the team. But, you know, Pittsburgh could be so... I don't want to say haphazard because that would be rude to the coaching staff there that's really professional, but the players may take it upon themselves to just go and attack and get really loose. And maybe they're a team that will generate chances, but maybe they're a team that will give up more chances than they'll create. So I think that's something to pay attention to, especially with teams. And again, Mitch, we've talked about this. This is a Pittsburgh model that if it works, I think a lot of people will try to copy, but if it doesn't work, it's going to be really bad.
For me, the consistency in his game, speed, his scoring, his volume of shots, I expect those are going to be there right away. That's the way he's always been as a player. And he's going to add a lot to our attack being like that.
Penguins coach Mike Johnson today on You Know Who, Phil Kessel.
Yeah.
Scott Cullen, the guy who put together the list of 300 top scorers projected this year, has Kessel scoring 40 and 85 points if he's playing alongside Crosby. Would you go there?
Yep, that's very reasonable. I think the day that they acquired Phil, if I remember correctly, there's 40 goals unless he gets hurt, but there should be 40 goals, no problem. And maybe more than 85 points, but I would definitely have him at 40 goals if I were the Penguins coaching staff.
Pierre, what is it about Crosby's game where a lot of really talented wingers, haven't exactly blended with him. I mean, his best line mates throughout his career, it seems like they've been Chris Kunitz and Pascal Dupree, when there's been other guys on the team like Marian Hossa and James Neal. What is it about Crosby's game where sometimes some wingers don't work out?
He is the ultimate give-and-go player, and if you can't sense how to play give-and-go hockey with him, you're going to have problems. Kunitz is an excellent give-and-go player. That's why Kunitz has thrived playing with Crosby. Pascal Dupuis is an excellent give-and-go player. I'll go back to the goal, the golden goal from Vancouver. What is it with Jerome Iginla? It's a give-and-go hockey play. That's the strength of his game. And sometimes guys that are star players, they like to get it and go with it and not give it up. And that's part of why playing with Sidney is difficult. You've got to be a really, really good give-and-go player.
Let's not kid ourselves. Phil Kessel, I think, if I'm not mistaken, led the Olympics in scoring last Olympics. Elite player. So you need to score goals. We understand that. We're going to learn how to play first is what we're going to do, and I'm going to concern myself with that. I know you got to score about 230 to get in. And when we did the math, it didn't add up good. So we got to figure some other way to get it to add up better.
Mike Babcock's first day on the job in Toronto, meeting members of the media. Shortly after that, Lou Lamoriello went out and got Michael Grabner.
We're going to learn how to play. That's the line that should resonate for every player in Toronto. We are going to learn how to play. So you know what that means? Forecheck, backcheck, block shot. Don't give up odd man rushes. Be prepared for team meetings. Understand the power play dynamic that they want to run. Understand the penalty kill dynamic that they want to run. That we're going to learn how to play. That is just so Mike Babcock-esque. That was great. In terms of Michael Grabner, he's pure offense. He's not going to get a lot of defense out of him, but he's going to give you a lot of offense.
The last 5 years, his goals production, and although I should point out the lockout shortened year was part of that, so right. It looks worse than it was. But his, why has he been declining in that area?
Because I can tell you on Long Island, just every other night, it was a little bit like Yuri Talusti. Some nights great, some nights not so great. He dropped deeper and deeper into the batting order, so he wasn't getting a lot of the big minutes that he had gotten earlier in his career. And I just think, having been around the Islanders a little bit last year live, there wasn't that second and third effort that I think you have to have if you're going to be a consistently good goal scorer.
Pierre Maguire back in his normal slot tomorrow on Friday at 5:05. Enjoy the rest of the time in Nowhere, Pennsylvania with the family, Pierre.
I'm actually driving home right after this, so we just got off the course and I'm driving home.
Safe travels.
Thanks a lot, Mitch. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.